1 Corinthians 15, and we have a passage here that is not as difficult as I guess it would seem on the surface. You may read this through with a casual reading and kind of scratch your head and what in the world? But as we go through it, you're going to find that really it's not as difficult as it first appears. It says in verse 23, it says, "But every man," speaking of the resurrection, "every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh," what's the next two words? "The end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God," even the Father, "when he shall have put down all rule and authority and all power," I'm sorry, let me read that again, "and have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it's manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." Now, let me just begin tonight, and I've got my charts. I've got a chart again tonight that we're going to bring up in a moment. But before we do that, let me say this, that our God is a God of purpose. Ephesians 3:11 speaks of the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now listen closely. God has an eternal purpose that centers in his Son. An eternal purpose. Titus 1:2 talks about eternal life that God promised before the world began. Well, wait a minute. If he promised it before the world began, who did he promise it to? I mean, there was nobody else there but him, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So if he made it the promise of eternal life before the world began, who did he make the promise to? Well, he promised it to himself. Hebrews 6:13 says that God can swear by no greater than himself. You see, before the foundation of the world, God purposed some things in Christ Jesus. And God made a promise that eternal life was going to be possible. That eternal life was something that he was going to grant and that he was going to give. And he made that, the triune Godhead made this promise to themselves. You see, God has a plan and God has a purpose for his creation. And the good news is this, is that God has fully revealed his plan to us through the Word of God. Now go to Ephesians with me, chapter 1, and keep your bookmarker here, and I want to show you this. Go over to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. What has to happen before the end of the world comes? And that's what we're going to talk about. We may not get all the way through it tonight, but if we don't, we'll finish it up next Sunday night. But Ephesians 1, look at verse number 8. Well, let's go up to verse 7, okay? Let's get the context. "In whom," in Christ, "we have redemption through his blood." So we've been redeemed back to God through the blood of Christ. What does that mean? It means the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So God has abounded towards the church, the body of Christ, in all wisdom and prudence. Well, how did he do that? How did he abound wisdom towards us? Look at verse 9. "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath," what? "Purposed in" who? "In himself." That's what I was talking about a minute ago. God purposed it in himself. God made a promise and he purposed it in himself. He made that promise to himself. See? Now, what does verse 9 say? What are the very first three words of verse 9? "Having made known." So let me ask you a question. That which was a mystery, God's plan and purpose, is it still a mystery? No. Has God made it known? Yeah, when people talk about, oh, that's just part of the mysterious plan of God that we can never understand, you know that they're off in la-la land somewhere, okay? No, God has made known unto us the mystery of His will. See, it was a mystery. He said, now I've made it known to you. Now I've fully revealed it to you. Go over to Titus chapter number 1. Titus chapter 1. Again, the idea here, God purposed some things in eternity past, but God has made it known now. He's manifested it. Manifest means to make known, to make it fully known. Look at Titus 1, verse 2. It says, and this is what I quoted earlier, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised, when? Before the world began. But look at the next verse. But hath in due times, notice the word, manifested. He's made it known. He's published, he's publicly declared it. He has manifested his word, okay, through what? Preaching, Paul said, which is committed unto me, Paul said, according to the commandment of God, our Savior. And so here's the thing, and this is what I want you, before we can get into the end, we got to do a little groundwork here. So I want you to get this, and Sunday night's a great time to be back and really think and get a little bit deeper than maybe I can go on a Sunday morning. And so I want you to listen closely, okay? Does God have a plan and purpose for His creation? Yes. Is it something He's kind of coming up with off the cuff? No. He purposed some things in Christ Jesus before the world began, in eternity past. Is it still a mystery? Has God made it known? How did He make it known? Through His Word, through the preaching of His Word. That's right. So God's made it known, and God invites men and women to participate with Him in His glorious plan for His creation. You see, this is where, and again, this term may not mean anything to you, but this is where Calvinists will get off, okay? The idea that before the foundation of the world, they believed that God chose certain people and He chose to damn certain people. And that idea, you may have heard that somewhere along the line. And what they do is they take a little bit of truth, but then they mix in some error with it. And the truth is, God did purpose some things in eternity past. Okay, God purposed some things in Christ Jesus. All right, He promised eternal life before the foundation of the world. And so yes, there is an eternal plan that God has, but here's the whole theme of the Bible. God invites men and women to participate with Him in His plan. And men and women have the opportunity to either be a part of God's plan or say, no, I don't want that. I want to go my way. And so mankind has this free will to either choose to participate in the plan of God or reject it and follow the plan of rebellion that Satan has laid out. So you see, mankind, that's the whole theme of the Bible, is mankind has that choice to either follow God's plan and participate in that or follow Satan's plan of rebellion. And so God invites men and women to participate. And whosoever will may come, amen? And God invites people to come and to be a part of it. And whosoever will may come. And so God invites people to come and be a part of His plan. Here's the deal, though. If you reject the plan of God, is God still going to accomplish His ultimate plan for the world? Yeah, that's the idea, see. And this is, again, where Calvinists get things all twisted. And Calvin was a theologian that came up with all these mysterious things. And what he needed to do was spend more time just reading God's Word, okay? Because, you see, God has fully made known the mystery of His will and now invites men and women to participate in that plan. And yes, God has an eternal plan. God has a purpose. And you know what? You can choose to reject the plan of God. You can say, I don't want anything to do with God's purpose, and I don't want anything to do with His plan. And you can do that, and you can rebel along with Satan. But bottom line, God's going to accomplish His plan anyway. Okay? God has a plan for His universe. God has a plan for the heavens, the earth, and so forth. And God's going to accomplish that plan whether or not you choose to participate or not, but in His love, He invites you to participate in that plan. In the passage back in 1 Corinthians 15, if you go back there again, this is what we see. This is what we're talking about. In this passage that lays before us, we see the culmination of God's plan. God's plan is consummated. It's fulfilled here. And we see that. Now, Paul refers to this time period where God, where the culmination of God's plan takes place. Paul calls that the dispensation of the fullness of times over in Ephesians 1:10. In other words, there's coming a time period in which the purpose for why time was created will be fulfilled. And it's called the dispensation of the fullness of times. Now, look at verse 24 closely again. 1 Corinthians 15:24. And he says here, then cometh the end. Now look, follow the wording. When he, Christ, shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Now follow this, okay? You gotta get this. The end can't come until these things happen, and Paul's going to begin to go through them in verses 24, 25, 26, and 27. He says, then cometh the end when he shall have. In other words, he's already done this. These are the things that lead up to bringing in the end. So Paul's going to tell you in verses 24, 25, 26, and 27 what has to happen and what in fact will happen before the end comes and the eternal ages begin. By the way, let me clarify one thing real quick. When I talk about the end, I'm not talking about, you know, some of you may be like, well, the end. You know, you think of the end maybe as, well, everything just blows up. Whoop, and we're all in smithereens and that's it. You know, it's the end. That's all, folks, you know. And that's not what we mean by the end, okay? The end doesn't mean everything blows up and everything's gone. No, the end is speaking of time as we know it. The world as we know it. That's when he's talking about the end. The earth, all that we see, the world, it's all the world system that we see, the earth as we know it, the heavens as we know it. One day they're going to be transformed, they're going to be changed. And that's what he's talking about when he says the end. It's the end of time as we know it. And then the eternal ages, see, begin. And there'll be no time, the Bible says. And so that's what he means by the end. I just probably needed to clarify that. All right? Now, Paul, what he does here, is it's fascinating the way he does it. He starts with the end, in verse 24, then cometh the end. So he starts with the end, and then what he does is he backs up and he tells you how that's going to be arrived at in verses 24, 25, 26, and 27. And then he tells you what's going to finally occur and happen when the end does finally come. He's going to tell you what's going to happen then. So he says, okay, then come at the end when he shall have. In other words, these are things that are going to occur before the end comes, and that's what I want to talk about. What is it that has to happen before the end comes, the end of time as we know it, and the eternal ages set in, the dispensation of the fullness of times? What is it that has to happen before that occurs? And that's the subject matter of what I want to cover with you here in this passage, and that's what Paul's talking about. And there's basically four things that have to happen before the end comes. And the first one is back in verse 23, and we've covered this verse in detail in previous studies, but we do need to note something here. Look at verse 23. It says, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ, and then what's the next three words? At his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have. And so before the end comes, number one, Christ must come again. And we talked about this, how there are two phases to Christ's coming. He's coming for the church, the body of Christ in the clouds. And then 7 years later, if you bring the chart up here, bring up the chart that I have for tonight. Christ comes here in the clouds right there, and we're caught up. And that ends the dispensation of grace. The body of Christ is being formed right now. And then when the body of Christ is formed completely, we're caught up and we meet the Lord up here in the air. He comes in the clouds. But then 7 years later, the second phase is he's going to come all the way back down here to the earth. And Paul said that the end cannot come until Christ returns. And when he comes back, when Christ completes his coming and he comes back down here to the earth from heaven, when he finally comes back down, okay, then the consummation of God's plan and God's purpose will begin to be set in motion at that point. In other words, this event right here, when Christ comes back down here to the earth, when Christ returns to the earth, it's going to kick off the events that will lead up to what Paul calls the end. Sometimes you'll hear people say, well, the end is near, you know, and the fact of the matter is we're in this time period. Okay. And the events that are going to bring in the end are actually kicked off here at the second coming of Christ. So when somebody's over in this time period and says that the end is near or the end's got to be near, well, you know, they really don't know. Okay, there's conjecture there, they're speculating, but they don't know. Now, when the world sees Christ coming publicly in the clouds of glory here, and he's coming back down to the earth, yeah, then we know that we're setting in motion the things that are going to bring in the end. This is what's going to kick it off. This is what's going to jumpstart it and get it going. This is what's going to make the time clock begin ticking that will tick down to the end. But verses 24 through 27 make it clear that there are still things that have to happen after Christ returns to the earth. There are still things that are going to have to occur. But the end, quote, the end cannot be in view and is not possible until Christ does return down to the earth. Okay? So I hope you got that so far. Does God have an eternal plan and purpose? Does he have a plan for his creation? And we're going to see here in a second what it is. God's got a plan for his creation, an eternal purpose, an eternal plan. He invites men and women to participate in that plan. Right now, we are living in a time period called the dispensation of grace. God is freely offering his grace to men and women in the world. He's inviting people to be part of a plan that involves the church, the body of Christ. And he invites men and women to be a part of that plan. And men and women have to choose whether or not they're going to be a part of God's plan and be a part of the body of Christ, or whether they're going to rebel along with Satan and reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So we're living here. The end, if you'll notice way over here, what kicks off the events that are going to lead to the end is right here when Christ comes back down to the earth, which will be 7 years after we're caught up in what's called the rapture, which we've been studying on Wednesday nights as we go through 1 Thessalonians. If you've missed that, you ought to get it online. But before the end comes, he says Christ has to come again. Now, the second thing I want to share with you tonight is this. Before the end comes, before time as we know it ends, Christ must reign over creation with total authority. I want you to look at verse 24 with me. It says, then cometh the end when he, that's Christ, shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Notice, when he shall have. So this is what's got to occur before the end comes. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and what? And power. Now this is where it gets good. God's ultimate plan is that all things be brought under the authority, the headship, and the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now take your Bible and let's go to a great passage, Colossians chapter 1. And here it's explained, and you really need to see it. Go to the right a few books from Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 15, we'll begin reading here. It says that Christ is the image of the invisible God. He's the manifestation. He's the firstborn of every creature. That doesn't mean that Christ had a beginning. We know that Christ is eternal. The word firstborn there means he's the head. He's number one. He's the head one. He's the first. He's the first in rank or order. He is preeminent. He's first place. Okay? Verse 16. For by him, by Christ were all things. Notice the phrase all things. It keeps popping up. For by Christ were all things created. Now look at this. That are in heaven and that are where? In earth. What does Genesis 1:1 say? In the beginning, God created the world. Is that what it says? No, there's a distinguishment. In the beginning, there's a division, right? In the very first verse of your Bible, there's a division. In the beginning, God created, he could have just said the world, but he didn't. He said God created the heaven and the earth. Well, look what the Bible says in verse 16. By Christ were all things created that are in heaven and that are. So he not only made heaven and earth, he created some things to go in them. Now look at it. It says visible and invisible. So there are some things that God created to go in the heavens and the earth. Some that you can see, some you can't see. Now look at it. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. There's that phrase again. All things were created by Christ and for Him, for Christ. So look up here. When the Bible talks about principalities and powers and thrones, those are terms for governmental authorities. This gets a little bit deep, and I want you to get this. There was a governmental structure and order. God created the heaven and the earth, and He put a structure in there, an orderly arrangement for that, with a governmental structure of angels and the host of heaven to operate that heaven and earth. And they were created by and for Christ on earth and in the heavens. And it was all designed to center in and to glorify the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 17. It says, "And He, Christ, is before all things, and by Him all things consist." So God created the heavens, the earth. He put some orderly structure in there. And all of it was designed to center in and to glorify His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the problem. Both of them were defiled by sin. And the heavens, I'm not talking about the third heaven where God is. The first and second heavens, the heavens and the earth have been defiled by sin, and they are right now currently in rebellion against the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul talks about how we're wrestling against satanic, demonic powers that are in high places, heavenly places. He talks about how Satan is a lion roaming the earth. Satan right now has access to the first and second heavens as well as the earth. And right now the curse of sin and rebellion have been brought upon them. Both the heavens and the earth have to be brought under the authority of Christ before the end comes. That's what Paul said back in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 18. It says, before we go back, "And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He, Christ, might have the what? Preeminence, first place." Look up here. The eternal purpose and plan that God purposed in Christ is that everything that God created, the heavens and the earth and all that He put in them, that they would all point to the Lord Jesus Christ. They would all glorify and center in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's plan, see, is to exalt His Son, the only worthy one to be exalted and glorified. And so everything was created by Christ and for Him. And then sin came into the picture and defiled it all. The governmental structures of the heavens and the earth, they have to be reconciled back under Christ's authority before the end can come. Look down with me at verse, look down at verse number 19. It says, "For it pleased the Father that in Christ, in Him, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him, by Christ, to reconcile all things unto Himself." Well, what are the all things? The all things are those structures, those governmental structures that he put in the heavens and the earth. And he said that the all things, the things in the heavens, the things in the earth, they all must be reconciled unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the end of the verse and it makes it clear. Verse 20, I say whether they be things where? In earth or things where? In heaven. Both of those have to be reconciled under Christ's authority. God's purpose, listen now, God's purpose and God's plan is to make Christ the head over all the government of the heavens and the earth. Both of them must be reconciled to him. Right now they're out of whack. Right now they're turned around in rebellion. And the heavens and the earth, all those governmental structures must be reconciled under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in all things, heaven and earth, he might have the preeminence. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go back there. And if you look up on the screen here, God is going to reconcile all the things of the earth, the government of the earth. He's going to reconcile that unto Christ through the agency of the nation of Israel. That's the subject of prophecy. He's going to accomplish the plan in the heavenly places through the church, the body of Christ. That's the subject of the mystery. Christ must be preeminent in all things. The entire system, heaven and earth, must be reconciled, and it must be brought under the authority, the rule, and the power of Jesus Christ before the end can come. Look down again at 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have, this is what has to happen, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put what? All enemies under his feet. Now look up here. The end cannot come until Christ is center stage and he is visible as the conquering king of earth and heaven. The end can't come until Christ is center stage and he's ruling as the conquering king of heaven and earth. Has that happened yet? No. Well, I want you to look with me at Hebrews chapter 2. I think this is the last thing we'll look at, and that's all I'm going to lay on you tonight, all right? Next week, we'll come back and we'll do the second, the last two points, and there's more I really want to say under this second point, but I don't have time tonight. Look at Hebrews 2, verse 5. You see, this has not happened. The heavens and the earth have not been reconciled under the authority of Christ yet. Look with me at Hebrews 2, verse 5. It says, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the what to come? Okay, so the eternal ages, the world that's going to come, he said that he hasn't put it's not going to be subject to the angels. We're going to find out. No. It's going to be subject to Christ. But the thing I want you to notice is he didn't say the world that is. He said the world to come. It hasn't happened yet. All right, but let's go on. It'll be even clearer. Verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. And this is speaking of Christ. And didst set him over the works of thy hands. Now look at this. Verse 8. This is the key. Thou hast put... There's that phrase again. What is it? All things in subjection under his feet. For in that he hath put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that's not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Now here's what that means. Look up here and I'm done. All things positionally have been placed under Christ by the Father. Because of his death and resurrection. Positionally, everything's been put under Christ. But has he exercised that power and authority yet? No. And what we're going to see next week, that's why he says, not yet. He says, but now we see not yet all things put under him. Yes, positionally, they have been. But in a practical sense, he's not executed the power and authority that the Father's given him yet. The time hasn't come yet for him to exercise that power and that authority. And what we're going to see next time, next Sunday night, is there's coming a definite time on that chart when the heavens are going to be cleansed and they're going to be put under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The heavens will be reconciled under his authority. But then there's coming another time on that chart when the kingdoms of the earth are going to come under his authority also. The end, the eternal ages can't come until both those occur. Until all things are reconciled under him, the heavens and the earth. So God has this eternal plan and purpose that's purposed in his Son, Jesus Christ. And the eternal ages cannot commence. The end of the world as we know it cannot come until all things have been reconciled under him, and he is preeminent in all things. He's done everything, Christ has done everything necessary for that to occur through his cross work, through his burial, and his glorious resurrection. Everything that needs to be done has been done in that sense. The blood has been shed, the price has been paid, the resurrection is the seal of that. And so, positionally, Christ has been exalted up in the third heavens, and positionally, the Father has said, okay, all authority and all power is given unto you. He hasn't executed it yet, so when is he going to do that? When is he going to execute that power? And when's he going to purge the heavens and bring them under his authority? When's he going to purge all the wickedness and the sin on this earth and bring it under his authority? Next week we'll see when that's going to happen, okay? So I hope you'll come back next week and we'll look at that, okay? That's not fair to leave you hanging like that, is it? I'm sorry. But Awana's going to be getting out. I'll blame Awana, all right? No, seriously, we do. That's all we have time for tonight. Next week we'll come back and we'll look at some more of that. Heavenly Father,